Numbers chapter 20, so find that with me and stand. Numbers chapter 20, we'll read our text tonight. We're again, like this morning, taking a hiatus from our normal study. We have been in Acts, and we will continue in the book of Acts, God willing, next Sunday. Just trying to follow the Lord and what He'd have us to talk about today. So we are in Numbers chapter 20. Let's begin in verse number 14. Honestly, you know what's amazing about this chapter is verse 1 through 13 is about Moses striking the rock in anger. So we could have been in this chapter, like in the first part of this chapter, all day talking about the anger of Moses. But that's verse through verse 13, and then right on the heels of that, let's begin and watch what happens in verse 14. A totally different episode. Look what happens. It says this, "And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us." So the idea is you understand what we've been going through. Now he's talking to Edom. Look what he says in verse 15. "How our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border." Now look, here's the request, verse 17. "Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields, nor through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand, nor to the left, until we have passed thy border." So, just saying, we request passage. Would you allow us to pass through your land? We won't mess with any of your stuff, you know? Verse 18. "And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him," and almost you can feel in verse 19 how perplexed they are. It's almost like you make a request and you already know they're going to say, sure. You know, like any grandchild who asks grandpa or grandma for something, you already know the answer. Because you're asking grandma and grandpa, you know. So it was shocking whenever they heard, no, you're not going to pass through. In fact, if you even try, we're going to pull the sword. It's a threat, by the way. Verse 19, look what happens. "And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway. And if I and my cattle drink thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said," that is Edom, "thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand." Remember that sword he talked about? Verse 21, "And Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. And it was a fearful thing." It was, truly. And look what happened in the last part of verse 21. "Wherefore Israel turned away from him." You know what Edom's problem was? They couldn't get past it. Couldn't get past what? They couldn't get past the past. Amen. Couldn't get past the past. And it caused them to allow that bitterness to affect that relationship to today. And there's a good lesson for us, and what we need to learn tonight is we need to learn that there are some things we need to be able to move past it. Amen. We need to be able to move forward and get past this stuff. Amen. We're going to talk about that. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings. We need you tonight. We confess even again, as we will every time. Without you, we can do nothing. It's in your precious holy name we pray and ask for your blessings. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I may have told a little bit of this story at one point in the last several months. By the way, do y'all realize that we're going on 1 year? 2 weeks. That's wild, isn't it? Anyway, so in the past X amount of months that we've been doing messages, I think I might have said a couple of things about this. When I was in high school, we played in a basketball tournament my senior year, and it was so important to me that we won this basketball tournament. It's my senior year, and all the teams in this tournament, we had either already beaten them or we passed the visual test. I mean, we ought to be able to beat these guys, okay? There was one team that presented a challenge, but I felt confidence going into the tournament. And lo and behold, we came to play that team in the championship game. And in that game, we had seven guys, and we're getting down to the last minute of the game. I had four fouls. Two other guys had already fouled out. That means the five guys on the court are the only guys that we have left. And I had four fouls. Five fouls, you're out. 1 minute left, gets down to 30 seconds, gets down to the last 20 seconds or so. We had made a shot. We're up by 1 point. I run back on defense and tried to cut off the offensive player so he would have to turn back the other way. But he, in a stubborn way, didn't turn back and just plowed right into me. And I got called for a foul. That means I fouled out of the game. There's like 15 seconds left, and they're on the free throw line, and we have four guys. And he made both free throws. It was a bummer, because all four of the rest of the guys out there are the worst. I'm like, who's even going to dribble it? You know? Give it to any of them. They're all horrible. You know? My brother would laugh at that because he was out there. And he wasn't. I'm exaggerating a little. We gave it to the wildest dribbler on the team. And there's 10 seconds left. And he's dribbling it up. And he looks like the Tasmanian devil. You know what I mean? He's just spinning around and going all over the place. And he somehow passed it to my brother, who also is usually floating somewhere. Catches the ball. Turns around, there's like 1 second left. He shoots it, the buzzer goes off. He misses the shot, but he gets like bulldozed. And he's on the free throw line. No time left. I mean, it's like we're watching Hoosiers right now. This is real life. He's on the free throw line, and he can literally win the game if he just makes two free throws. Because the time is gone. It's over. He's the worst free throw shooter on our team. And it was displayed in this moment. I'm like, God, do a miracle. You know, I'm praying on the sideline, you know. Do a miracle. He never makes free throws, but make the rim double the size. Make the ball so much smaller, you know. And he shoots the first one, misses. And we're thinking, four guys left, overtime, but you know, maybe something can happen. Just get us to overtime. And he shoots it, and he misses. And I don't let him live it down. I bring it up every so often just to kind of put it back in his face. Thanks a lot. You know, after that game, the team that defeated us, they kind of rubbed it in our face, and it sort of rubbed me wrong. You know, I was already upset, and I felt like you guys shouldn't even have won, okay? Or at least I felt that way. And when you have a bad attitude, honestly, usually that's how you feel anyway. But I just felt we're going to play this team later on in the season, and every time we're in practice, I'm thinking about them. And as that game gets closer, I'm thinking about them. And you know what I have on my mind? It's not grace. It's not love. It's not like high fives, good job, you beat us. No. Vengeance. Vengeance. We want to get vengeance. And when we came into that last game, man, we were fire. We were focused. And the game really showed that. And honestly, my pastor kind of was stimulating this fire a little bit too. You know, he was our coach, Brother Pendergraft. He's in heaven now. So And I remember he would, in the huddle, he's like, "You're not going to let these guys do that to you." I'm like, "Amen, Pastor." We're saying amen, right? So I remember we couldn't miss in that game against them. We were lighting them up. We were tearing it up. I remember one time, it was a free throw. I'm just like reliving the glory days right here. We missed our guy missed a free throw, and we got an offensive rebound, and I was back on defense. And so I rushed back, and just right when I got to the 3-point line, we had gotten that rebound, and he threw it out to me. And I remembered shooting it, and it was a swish on a three. And the reason why that moment was important to me, because whenever I turned around to my left, our bench was right there where Pastor was. And I remember right after that three, I remember Pastor going like this. You know, he was like doing that, you know, like doing his arm like that. It was just one of those memories I'll never forget. Vengeance, sweet vengeance, you know. And maybe you're thinking this, Pastor, you probably should move past it, right? You should probably move past it. And we still lost the championship game. On a serious note, there are, for some of us, issues, situations we've gone through in life, and we have a hard time holding on to it. We've had things happen to us, maybe in our childhood, and it's hard to forget about those things. We've had things happen to us from family members, you know, abusive situations, and it's hard to move past those things. Honestly, there are times we can recall the vivid details of those situations. And it would be nice if there was vengeance there. And at times, there's a bitter feeling, and at times, we just don't want to remember it anymore. You know, we have hurts sometimes. We have hurts. Hurts is relative, meaning there's various kinds of things that in life have hurt us, potentially. Whether it's a physical hurt that we have felt from a family member or somebody in our past, but it could be an emotional hurt that we felt of somebody who took advantage of us. And when you've been taken advantage of and somebody has used you for something, it's a hurtful thing, and it's hard to move past that, especially when you recount or you think about those instances. Or when you're in another situation where you're dealing with another relationship or with somebody else, and it's hard for you to move past the hurt that you had in that relationship so that you can have trust in the next relationship. And so the hurts that you've had here affects the new relationships that God desires in your life here. And it's true, yes, we need to move past that, but honestly, the hurts and the feelings and the, you know, the memories and honestly, even the physical, at times, the physical scars that we have from the hurts that we've had in our past, it makes it hard to make a joke about. It makes it hard for us to say, yes, Pastor, it's easy for you to say, just move past it. But honestly, and if we're honest tonight, we would need to admit, and it would be wise to admit, we do need to move past it. But it also might be we need God's help to know how we can do that. And He equips us. He gives us everything we need. And I love that. Now, there's two things we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look in Numbers 20, and I forgot to tell you this a minute ago, but we're also going to look at a verse in Amos. Don't turn there yet, but if you want to put a piece of paper or a ribbon there in Amos chapter 1, because Amos is kind of hard to find. I'll give you just a second to find that, put a piece of paper there, and we'll come to it in just a little bit. Now, in our passage, we are seeing Moses having dialogue with the leadership of Edom. And what he is asking is passage as Israel is on their journeys, moving to what it was hoped to be the promised land before they would not be able to enter the promised land. And in their journeys and in their wilderness time, they would have requested passage through the land of Edom. And the leadership of Edom was confronted in a positive, in a gracious sort of tender way by Moses with this request. And look how he asks. Verse 15, there's a couple of different things that I want you to notice about his request. First of all, in verse 15, he says, how our fathers. So as he came into Kadesh, verse 14 says that he's requesting from the king of Edom. He says in his words, our fathers. And then the last phrase of verse 15, the Egyptian vexed us and our fathers. So what he's doing is he's putting himself together in the same family connection with the Edomites. Our family, your family, our fathers. And so that connection there, I don't think is manipulative, because through the scriptures, you'll find that that is, even in Amos later, it's often that connection is made there. And so he's making this request, and in the, you know, at a fundamental or a foundational level, he's saying this is something that's related to both of us. It's almost like saying we're family in a sense, okay? Then verse number 16, he says, and when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, speaking of delivering them out of Egypt. Now verse number 17, he says, let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. And then he says this, we will not pass through the fields nor through the or through the vineyards. What he means here is we're not going to disrupt your agricultural, you know, means. We're not going to disrupt anything as it relates to your work and your agriculture. We won't mess up your fields. We're just going to stay on the road. In fact, that's what he said. After he said, we will drink of the water, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. Then he said this, we will go by the king's highway. The king's highway was a famous road through this region. And he's making a promise here, as we go or as we make passage through the land, we will stay on the road. We won't drink your water. We won't mess with your things. We won't disrupt your agriculture. And then he says in the last part of verse 17, we will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. And so that's a reasonable request. We won't disturb. We'll pass through, and it won't be a big problem. Even when I was reading this just a little bit ago, I was thinking of the boys, you know, whenever they, because they have their areas in the room and they have their things, and one of them wants to use another one's thing. Hey, can I use your thing, or can I read your book, or can I this? And the other one has like plenty, right? He's not even using that one. And then he says, no, you can't use my stuff. You know, there's no reason for it. Or even brothers, like we read in the passage. But no, you can't use my stuff. Verse number 18 says that. Look at it. Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with a sword. So, by the way, he said he's not hospitable, and that's true. You can see that. No, you can't pass through the land. But then he says this, I'll come against you with a sword. That's a threat. So it's not just, you can't come, I'm not hospitable. If you try, watch and see what happens. The sword's going to come out. Well, Moses, it seems as though, because he continues, he almost can't believe his ears. He goes on in verse 19, the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway. So he's just reaffirming to the Edomite king, listen, we will stay on the main road. We will not defer to the right or to the left. We won't drink any of your water. And if it happens to be an emergency or something happens and some of your water is drank, then he says this, then I will pay for it. And nothing will be disturbed. We'll just pass through and all will be well. But that wasn't enough for the Edomite king. In verse number 20, look what he said. Thou shalt not go through. Thou shalt not go through. And then it says, he came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Verse 21, he refused to give Israel passage. So the answer is no. The answer is no, you can't pass through. And watch, that he made the threat indicates there's something like we talked about this morning that's deep inside. Do you know what it was? It was anger. There was anger deep inside. And so the threat was given. And then when Israel made the next request, that threat was almost, in a sense, being fulfilled because much people came out, and you can almost see it with the swords drawn. Don't even try to pass through this way. And you can see the bitterness that's there because of something in the past related to Israel and related to Edom. And they're holding on to it. And there's a violent refusal. You cannot come through this land. And if you try to come through this land, we will attack you. We will attack you. You know, that's not normal. It's not normal for people to behave this way. In our sin tendency, there is a kind of normal tendency for us to make things hard for people. It's like when you're on the highway and you're getting on the highway and you need to get over, and there's a guy that's right there and he won't get out of the way. He could, but he won't. You know, why is he just staying in the way? Because he can and he wants to. And there are sometimes people out there that are that way. But that's not what's happening here. There's something that's being held on to. There's a bitterness that's down deep inside that the Edomites have against the children of Israel. Now, how do you know that, Pastor? How do you know that? Well, you can sense it here, can't you? You can sense it in this episode. But it's plainly stated in Amos. And so let's take a look at it. Amos, you can lose your place there in Numbers, chapter 1. Look at verse 11. Amos chapter 1, verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword. And watch this. And did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually. Watch this last phrase. And he kept his wrath forever. Do you know what that phrase, he kept his wrath forever, means? It means he wouldn't get past it. Whatever the wrath that was from the past, he kept it. He carried it with him. So that he allowed it to burn inside of him. And that burning of anger and wrath turned to bitterness. And bitterness manifests itself with a sword. All because he kept it. He wouldn't move past it. And it brought judgment on him. A judgment from God. Bitter people have a hard time. There's a struggle to give things to God. There's a struggle to get past it. I read this story about a little boy named Johnny and a little boy named Bobby, and they got into a fight with each other. I mean, it was like a boy fight, you know what I mean? So they were wrestling, and one of them picked up the ball and went home. Game over, right? The next day, Johnny got up and he grabbed his ball cap. And his older sister said, hey, where are you going? I'm going over to Bobby's house. What? You're going to Bobby's house? Didn't you get in a fight with him yesterday? Yeah, we got in a fight yesterday. Well, how funny your memory is, she says to him. And Johnny just stood there with his cap and his ball, and he sort of kicked the ground like this while he was looking down. And then he had a thought, and he looked up with a big smile. And he said, you know, Johnny and me, we're good forgetters. He ran out the door. He's going to go play with Johnny or Bobby again. You know what you and I need to learn to become? Good forgetters. We need to learn to become good forgetters. We need God's help so that when we want to remember the things of the past, that the devil uses to stir us and discourage us and to cause us to not want to move forward and to press on and to minister and to trust and to allow God's grace to do great wonders in our life and through our life, that we would learn, like Johnny and Bobby, to give things to God and become a good forgetter. Amen. You know, God's a good forgetter. Amen. He chooses to forget. Amen. Like, you know, the Bible says that God takes our sin and He casts them as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered. And how is God able to do that? Because He chooses to do that. And that's what needs to happen in us. There's a story I also read about Robert E. Lee, who visited after the war a woman in Kentucky who had lost much in the conflict of the Civil War. And she was, you know, showing and speaking with General Lee about some of the loss that she had in bitterness and in anger and in wrath about the loss. She looked to Lee to find affirmation in her bitterness about the loss because of the North. And Robert E. Lee looked at her and said, speaking specifically of a tree that she was looking at in her front yard, looking at this tree and the branches were broken because of the artillery, and also speaking of other things in her family. And Robert E. Lee looked at her and he said this to this woman of Kentucky: you need to cut it down. You need to forget about it. Amazing. Do you know what you and I need to learn how to do? We need to learn how to cut it down. We need God's help to learn how to forget about it. The struggles and the hurts that we've had in our past will hinder what God desires to do in our future. It will hinder you. If you have a bitter spirit about, and you have a memory that's causing bitterness about something in your past, I promise you it's hindered what God has desired to do through you up until now. And do you know what's also true? Is it hinders how you can bless other people. Think of Edom and how God could have used Edom to give Israel passage and would have been a blessing to Israel. But they were not interested in that. And so they said no. And in their bitterness, not being able to move past the past, they weren't a blessing to Israel. And they weren't a blessing. It wasn't a blessing in their life, because later on, even as we read in Amos, they're going to be judged because of this bitterness. They're going to be judged because of how they allowed this anger to stir inside them. And they wouldn't allow God to do a great work through them because they couldn't move past it. That's what we need tonight. We need God to help us to move past it, to become good forgetters, to cut it down. Yeah. There was an elderly man who had lost his wife, and he moved into one of those living communities, assisted living community. And there was in that community, there was others that lived there and got acquainted with a lot of friends and made a lot of connections. And it was just a really sweet time. It was something that he was actually hungry for a long time after the loss of his wife. Making all of these connections and all of these friends, after a certain amount of time, he found that there was one particular lady there that he became particularly fond of. And after a time, getting acquainted, spending time together, he finally, one special night, he proposed to her. The next day, when he got up, he couldn't remember what she said. He remembered he proposed to her, but he couldn't remember if she said yes or no. He was so embarrassed about it. So he went to her. And he said, I proposed to you yesterday, and I'm so embarrassed to say, I can't remember if you said yes or no. And she said, oh, thank goodness, I said yes to somebody yesterday and I couldn't remember who it was. Obviously, that's a joke, right? We need to become good forgetters. Amen. And we need to not wait until it's just totally natural and we can't remember anything anyway. There's some things that might have happened in your past. And if you don't learn to move past it, you're not going to be able to be used of God. You're not going to be able to watch God let you use you to give the people of God passage. Watch how God uses your life to do a great ministry for the work of God. Bitterness won't let you do that. But what you will find later is judgment will come back on you. So we need to learn to become good forgetters. And it might be tonight. It might be that it's time. You say, Pastor, it's time for what? It's time for you to get the axe out and cut it down. Cut it down. Put it on the brush pile and burn it and give it to God. Say, Lord, I don't want to remember this anymore. Remember that verse in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, we said it just a minute ago. How does God do that? He chooses to. He's God. He doesn't forget things. And so if God forgets something, it's because He chooses not to remember. And we can do that. With His help, with His grace, we can forgive and we can choose not to remember. And you watch how God will use your life in the future and the trust and yes, you make yourself vulnerable, but it's not a kind of vulnerability so that you have no strength and no hope. And it's like a vulnerability that's attached to fear. No, there's hope there. There's courage there. Because yes, you're making yourself vulnerable, but it's because you're putting yourself in the hands of God. And God's going to take care of you and He's going to use you. And even though you're vulnerable and even though will still in the future be times when perhaps we're made or taken advantage of or gossiped about or things are done against us, but while we're in the hands of God, He'll still do great things. But to get there, it might be tonight. Move past it. Become a good forgetter. Cut it down. Give it to God. Father, we need You tonight. And Lord, it's our desire to be encouraged with this idea. And it might be that there are some who have some memories of circumstances, issues of the past, or hurts of the past. And it just keeps coming back up and affecting how we are with people. We have a hard time moving forward or being used and allowing ourselves to be trust or to allowing ourselves to be open to trust and to become vulnerable. And yes, it is still true. People are people and people will still do hurtful things. But God, we're not doing this for the people. We're doing it for You. And we trust You. And we, like we learned this morning in Ephesians 4:32, we forgive because we've been forgiven. Not because somebody deserves to be forgiven, but because You forgave us. And so help us to forgive with Your forgiveness. Help us to move past it as You cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Help our bitterness to become sweet. Like I consider Moses taking that tree and placing it in the bitter waters and they became sweet. You do this. You did that for us on the tree, the cross, so that the bitter water of sin and the bitter sinfulness of our own sins can become sweet in You. So tonight I pray that You'd help those that tonight need to do this. And there might be several of us that we would learn to move past it. That we would learn like Johnny and Bobby to become good forgetters. And then, Lord, that we would cut it down. Would You give us strength, wisdom, the ability to do this as You would. And it's in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. The altar's open.